Is that good? I genuinely can't tell if that's good.
Shooby-dooby-doo-wah-wah, my name is Angela, and you are not Nanette Manwar is a stuck-up jerk-faced what? Do you remember that show? What a show. G'day, it's Aidan Jones, you're listening to Sitting Under a Tree. Tuesday the 12th of March. Mate, I'm in the midst of just... I've been really stressed about these next few days. It's Tuesday night. I don't really have the time to be recording this right now, but I figure I don't like the podcast to be late, so let's fucking do it, man. I just had the coolest... I just got back from giving a two-hour lecture on stand-up comedy at Melbourne University. How cool is that? The top university in Australia, and I was in an official paid capacity giving a lecture on my topic, stand-up comedy, for 2 hours. A group of like 40 kids in their 20s, like 21, 20-year-old, 21-year-old, whatever, and they're doing a stand-up comedy course. It's like it's an elective where... It was explained to me it's called breadth. It's a thing where they're studying whatever they're studying, you know, science, maths, politics, whatever the fuck. But then they have to do some subjects from outside their faculty to just try something else. And a couple friends of mine who are comics have put this comedy course to offer, and it's proving very popular. Yeah, so a bunch of kids are enrolling in the course, and I saw that they were doing it, and so I asked, can I be a part of this? Can I come and give a lecture? And they said, yep. And I did it on stand-up and storytelling. I did an hour. I told one of my bits, the bit about getting punched in the face by a lady on the train from my special. I explained to them a little bit about why I do stand-up and why I get on stage, and then we went through the bit, beat by beat, and talked about the different jokes and why they are where they are and how I kind of figure out how to put them there and how I identify where needs to be jokes, all this kind of stuff. They were very engaged. That was an hour, and then I had a little five-minute break, and then when we came back, I got them into groups of like four or five, and in their groups got them to talk about a story that they had and identify an opening line for the story, because I said the most important part of a story is to get the audience's attention with the first sentence that should sum up the idea of the story. So, you know, I got punched in the face by a lady on the train. Some kind of sentence to answer the question, what is this story about? And so they like shared stories with each other and then picked their favorite one and picked a sentence to open the story. And it was just great, man. They were engaged. They were asking questions. I had answers to their questions because stand-up comedy is the fucking... It's the one thing that I just know. I have the answers. I don't know everything, you know, but I've thought about whatever question you have, I'm going to at least be able to give some idea of, like, you know, what I've thought about it. It's not to say that I'm right, but do you know what I mean? I feel like I can speak about it a lot and answer questions, and it just feels really good to have that be valued. Oh, man. And then at the end of the thing, they were like, can you do another bit? Can you do like another bit of stand-up? And I was like, oh my God, can I? And there was a piano in there. And so I did the bit, the Biggie with Chopin bit from my show. And they enjoyed it. And I just am so happy. There was a grand piano in the room that we were in because it's in the music building. So after they all left, a few of them hung behind to ask me questions and get my Instagram and stuff. And then when they all left, I just sat in there and played on the grand piano for like 45 minutes, which was awesome. Oh, I could have fucking stayed there for like an hour. I could have stayed till midnight, man, just playing the piano. Let me have a bit of tea here. So I did that. Oh, too hot. No! And then I came home and I've got this tour in Spanish tomorrow. This is the other thing that I've got to do. I've just been stressed all weekend, man. Fucking Friday night, I opened for my friend's Sober Podcast, did some stand-up there, and then got in a car and drove straight to Donald in Central Victoria to go to Esoteric Festival. Did three sets at Esoteric and hung out for the day on Saturday. Did nothing, 38 degree day, hot. And then I wanted to go surfing, so I came back on Sunday to Anglesey and went to go surfing, but it was all flat and it was shit. So I got home, showered, chucked all my stuff in the wash, did all of that. And then, like, as soon as, you know, got everything together, went, packed my shit up and went to crash at work for a full day's tour on Monday. That was yesterday. And then today had work. Oh my God, man with a van today, a fucking bed frame fell on my face. I've got a black eye. I look like I've been a victim of DV, which is not funny, but that is what I look like. Like the classic, you know, the black eye. Whatever. I've just been going and going and going. And tomorrow is the last thing, and it's the most stressful thing because I'm doing a tour. I've been talking about it for weeks. I'm doing a tour around Melbourne CBD entirely in Spanish to a group of Spanish tourists who are all about 70 and they're in Melbourne for a few hours on a stop on their tour. And I'm just, you know, I hope that it's good. I hope that I can give them a good tour and I hope that they like the things that I have to say. I hope that they don't feel cheated, that I'm not 100% fluent in Spanish. I hope that they're nice. I hope that we get along. And then once that's done, I'm picking them up at 8:30 and dropping them back off at like 2:30. And once that's done, that's it. That's my week, man. I've got work on Thursday, but who fucking cares? You know, just removals. And then on Friday, I'm going to Perth and I've got two nights worth of shows in Perth. And when I get to Perth, I've decided I'm going to try and make some headway on editing this stuff from my gigs in the Gold Coast. Anyway, so that's what I've been doing. I just feel stressed. I know I just listed off a bunch of stuff, just rattled it off because that's kind of where I've been at. I've been on top of my shit. You know, I'm not like completely behind or whatever. Oh, my fucking eye hurts, man. A bed frame fell on my eye today. On my face, into the eye. I was working doing removals and yeah, just like we were in the truck and the bed frame is like a big wooden, not wooden, it was like a kind of like an ensemble but made of heavy wood. Not super heavy, but pretty heavy, and it was in a small truck and that was against the wall. And then the mattress was in front of it and they were both strapped together to the wall. And we went to take the mattress out and as we're pulling it out, I guess we didn't realize that the truck was on a slant. And so the bed just fell and it fell at me. And that happens sometimes, but it just caught me right in my fucking left eye. And I made this cry. I was like, ah! I made the craziest sound. Because when something hits you in the head, the first reaction, my first reaction is anger. It's always anger. I want to blame someone. I want to lash out. Whose fault is this? But then also there was more than just anger because it's anger is just like the annoyance, but there was also fear because the pain was actually like kind of intense, you know? And so I sat down, I went down with the thing and then I sat on the ground and the guy who I was working with was just like, man, are you okay? And I just was like, I didn't say, but I was just like, I want to be fucking left alone right now. Sat on the floor of the truck for a bit and we were almost done with the job and the customer helped lift the bed and the bed frame into the house while I held a lukewarm ice pack on my head. And it took me about 20 minutes to be able to finally I knew eventually, like even when I was angry, I was like, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be able to laugh at this. And then, you know, and I went to the guy that I was working with. I was just like, how funny was that scream? And he was like, nah, man, I don't know. It wasn't that funny. It was really, sounded like it really hurt. I was like, yeah, but it was pretty funny, right? I screamed like a little girl. It was hard. Like, you know what? I understand after that why girls cry when they get hurt. It's because it's scary. It's scary to experience pain because you don't know if it's going to end. You don't know if it's going to get worse. It's just like it's a loss of control. When something happens that hurts you, it's really scary. And I always have thought it's weird that girls cry when they get hurt. Isn't that crazy? Because, like, that's just a thing that happens. Girls get hurt and they just cry. And guys don't cry. We just get angry and fucking start swearing. We become scary, man. Today in the lecture, we were doing this exercise where we try and think of a punchline. I was trying to show these guys how I write punchlines by, you know, like the example I used. One of the examples was in the bit. I have the joke where I say people were looking at me trying to insinuate that I should get up and help in the fight when the lady got punched in the face. And I was like, violence for me is like a threesome. I do fantasize about it, but I just don't know if I've got what it takes. And I was like, okay, let's try and reverse engineer a joke. And I was like, so what I do is I'm trying to comment on violence, particularly my aversion to violence or fighting. What are some things? And I was just like, let's just make a list of things that you think of when you think of fighting. And they were like, you know, blood, kicking. And then one girl was like, men, and everyone laughed. It's like, yeah, I mean, yeah. That's right. And then one girl, the last thing, one girl was just like, kind of hot. And I was like, that's fucking awesome. That is so funny because that's very honest and personal. And I think we all know what you mean. Violence is kind of hot. It's kind of hot, you know, but it's also not. It's also really scary. I think it's hot in theory. I don't know. I mean, that's her, you know, that's her truth. Whatever. Anyway, the funny thing was, yeah, men, violence being men. And just talking about gender and the different ways that interacts with violence. Fuck, man, it's so funny that women cry when they get hurt. Because when I got hurt, when I got fucking hit in the face with this thing, you know, a part of me was just like, I just want to be alone. And I went around the side of the van, and like the guy that I was working with, you know, he was cool, but we weren't like, we didn't have a rapport. We were just like friendly. And so I didn't feel like I could say to him, hey, man, just give me a moment by myself. Or I don't know. I just didn't have the presence of mind to, do you know what I mean? Like if it was a friend, I would have just been like, hey. Or I would have been able to make a joke about crying or something. But because this guy was just like, I just met him that day and, you know, we were just on kind of normal friendly terms. I didn't feel like I could really, I just didn't feel like I could cry in front of him. But I knew... I got hit in the face. The customer came out. He gave me this ice pack and he apologized that it wasn't cold. And then him and the guy I was working with lifted all the stuff, the remainder of the stuff into the house while I kind of stood there watching, feeling like I should do something, but also knowing that I'm injured. And so I just kind of stood there and then I went around the side of the truck and I understood in a moment that I wanted to cry because I felt useless and powerless. But I didn't want to cry just standing on the median strip while the guys like walked past me. So I was like, okay, I'll go somewhere private to cry. So I went around the side of the truck to the driver's side and I went and stood there for a second and I felt like I was maybe about to cry. And then homeboy came there and like, I don't know, I just didn't, I didn't ask for a moment to myself. I should have asked for a moment to myself to feel my feelings. Because I don't know, man, like, you know, it is nice that women cry when they get hurt, but I don't know that I would like to cry. I don't know. To show weakness. Do we do that? I would like to draw up, what are the pros and cons of showing weakness? We always talk about how men are afraid to show weakness. All right. What are the cons? What are the pros of showing weakness? Let's do the pros first. I reckon the cons will be funnier. The pros of showing weakness are you don't bottle it up inside. People trust you. They trust that you're being honest. Yep. Maybe it's endearing to show weakness. Maybe there is, conversely, a certain strength in showing weakness. Chicks like it. It's all kind of those. It's about emotional openness. Now, the negatives of showing weakness. It's weakness. It could be exploited. It feels gay. No. Oh, fuck. That's a fucking hack joke. I got to stop making that joke. That's boring. But it feels weird. It does feel weird. It feels uncomfortable. That's the word that I should have used. I apologize. What else? Negatives of showing weakness. Really, it's just that it could be exploited, but that's not a realistic thing that's going to happen. It's embarrassing. I think that's it. It's embarrassing and it's uncomfortable. So actually not that many negatives. Like, what would have happened if I cried in front of that guy today? He probably would have been embarrassed. That'd be a really funny... Is that funny to just cry? To just make a thing of, like, just crying in front of people and, like, that would be so uncomfortable and then doing it as a bit? So you win, you get the best of both worlds. You get to release your emotions and be healthy. And then you also get to, when they go, what the fuck? Or they're embarrassed. You're like, ha ha, I made you feel uncomfortable. That's a prank. You cry in front of your friends as a prank. That's pretty funny. I really don't know if I could do that. Maybe next time I want to cry, I'll just cry. I don't know, then. But then you're like the crying guy. There's no way that you wouldn't get made fun of for that, because it would make people so uncomfortable. The only way they could deal with it would be to make fun of you. I reckon even girls would make fun of you. I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I should just do it in the interest of research. Next time I get hurt, I'll make a pact right now. Next time I get hurt, I'm going to try and cry, and I'll let you guys know how I go with it. Oy, man, there was an esoteric festival. Esoteric was fucking sick. I had a lovely time hanging out with the man, Rohan Ganju. It's fucking just such a great hang, great comic. And Mark Oshka as well. Great hang, great comic, and just a bunch of lovely crew. Down at Esoteric, the Coburg Citrus Union. The show was an absolute shambles, but, you know, we got there. We did the, I did a show on Friday evening at like 1:30 a.m. It was great. I had a great time. And then Saturday, we just hung out all day, smoked a bit of weed. That was nice. And then the show was just, you know, it was just fucking... We're waiting around for ages for the show to start, and me and Rohan were like, well, we can't do our drugs until the show starts because we got to perform. And they were like, there's a cabaret show and then there's a stand-up show. So you can do short spots on the cabaret show and then you can do your full sets on the stand-up show. And I'm just like, oh, man, I just really want to get on stage and do my set so that I can get off stage and then I can do drugs because we're leaving in the morning. I don't want to be on drugs all night. But whatever. Did my short set in the stand-up. It was actually really fun. It was awesome. And then we get to the stand-up bit. We're getting closer and closer, but the show's just, it's a long show. You know, we didn't really start till like 9:30. And at like 11:30, I'm like to Rohan, man, do you just want to do, we'll split a cap of MD. Let's just do it now. So we're like, all right, we do that. And we're about to, we're kind of both coming up around the same time. And then they're like, okay, the stand-up section's starting. So you guys, you're going to be on real soon. And I'm like, man, I'm so high. And they were just laughing. They were like, yeah, you're on. So I went on and I was so scared and nervous and high and I just didn't know, you know, I didn't feel in control of myself, but I was like, you know what, fuck this. I came here with one goal, which was to do the piano set at this festival, and I haven't done it yet and my piano's here. So I set it up and got ready and then I was like, guys, I'm really high but I'm going to play piano, and I did it. I did the set. And then I did a bunch of jokes. And then at the end, I was like, I'm going to play the whole piece. And man, you could hear a fucking pin drop. Everyone just listened as I play the piece. It was so wonderful. It was one of my favorite sets I've ever had, I reckon. Just playing that piece for everyone and having everyone be there and present and listening to it after I'd explained a little bit of how it works. I really think this show's going to be great, man. Every time now, you know, I'm starting to do bits of it and it's starting to get, I feel like I'm getting a bit of momentum with this set, and it's just really interesting. It's something that people haven't seen before. I'm doing the Comedy Lounge this weekend and I did not pay for luggage, so I'm not going to do the set there. But you know what? Maybe next time, maybe I'll mention it to Johnny, and maybe next time I'll come up with the piano and do it there. Yeah. I'm getting more confident with it, and the set is kind of taking shape and becoming something more coherent and cohesive. So yeah. Yeah, the festival was great, man. After my sets and after all of our sets, we just fucking kind of went for a walk, but was too high, came back to the place and just got all our sleeping gear and slept outside, a bunch of us, which was so nice again. I've really had a wonderful week, man. I just am stressed. Stressed about all these things. I was stressed about the lecture today. I'm stressed about the Spanish tour tomorrow. Tomorrow evening I'm going to a play with a friend, which is going to be really nice and a lovely way to wind down. I can't wait to just hang out, sit down, you know, have a beer with someone and just tell them about the fucking, the lecture and about the tour. I've been working so hard learning my Spanish, writing the things for this tour in Spanish and learning words and practicing and all this stuff. I feel proud of myself. I was talking to my housemate yesterday about it's really been good, and I feel my Spanish has improved a lot in writing these things for this tour, because it's just using words that I would never use when I speak normal Spanish to people. And that's really cool. And I guess I understand now why in school they make you do reports on stuff like on a whale or a lizard or the Great Wall of China. It's not because it's important that you know about that stuff. I mean, it is cool to know about, but also it's just like, it's so that you learn the words that are specific to that thing, you know? You do a report on lizard, you learn about scales and their tails and hot and cold-blooded and fucking reptiles. You learn all these words. And when I've been writing these bits for the tour in Spanish, you know, I'm looking up all these words that I didn't know. And now I know all these Spanish words for fucking, what are the ones that I've learned this week? I said the ones that I learned last week. What did I learn this week? I've learned, muda, which is mute. Películas negras y blancas, black and white movies, y películas mudas, silent movies. Muda is like mute. I think it's Faso de Orquestra. Faso de Orquesta. Orquesta. Faso. I want to fucking look that up. It's orchestra pit. You know, because there's a bit about the... Where is it? Is it Faso? Faso? House of the Parliament. Teatro Regente. Foso de Orquesta. Orchestra pit. That's cool, huh? Cristal is glass. Domo is dome. Domo de cristal. Whatever. It's cool. It's cool to fucking have a direction to learn in, you know, and have a reason to. I was like, maybe I'll do, I'm never going to do this, but maybe I'll do a thing where I write like every week I write a bit of like an essay in Spanish on a different topic, you know, and that'll force me to learn words. Maybe I will do that. I don't know. I don't know who that would be for. That's really a thing for me. That's not a thing for anyone else, I don't think. I've started again trying to read Harry Potter and the Piedra Filosofal. I'm like a few pages in. I haven't picked it up again. It's very daunting to read. It's hard. I don't know that that is the way that I'm going to learn Spanish. I think the way that I'm going to learn Spanish is by writing things. Yes. Maybe I will try and do that, huh? I thought it would be funny to write something in Spanish and then use Google Translate to just direct translate it into English so that you can see the kind of thing that I write in Spanish and how boring it is. Maybe I'll do that next week. That could be a fun thing for the podcast. I wonder if that would be fun. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Anyway. Oh my God. Ah, there's not long left. I have to do my half hour. I'm fucking tired. I've got a, my eye hurts. I've got to get up at 6. What else can I complain about? My housemate got stung by a bee on the face last night. And he went to the hospital. And he didn't cry. And it seemed like he was scared. You know, dudes, don't fucking cry, man. Maybe for the last however many minutes. I think I've explained this before, but on the podcast, my recording software, Audacity, it doesn't have the amount of time that I've been recording for. It has the amount of bars that I've been recording for. And I have just like figured out that, what is it? 30 bars is about a minute. So I just have to get to 900 bars. But maybe for the last, you know, 2 minutes, it would be a nice exercise for me to just try to cry on the podcast. That would be so uncomfortable. No, I can't. No. I don't have anything to cry about. Oh my God. Do you know what? Whoa. When I got home today, I was thinking about the tour tomorrow. I got home. I went home early from work and because I had that, it was like a precaution in case I was concussed. And I was like, okay, well, that's good that I'm going home early. I got home at about 12:30 because I know I need to do a little bit more prep for the Spanish tour. So I was doing the Spanish tour and then I got to the MCG and then I was just like, I'd stopped writing and maybe I was like making myself lunch or something. And I was just in my head imagining, you know, the conversation that I might have with these people tomorrow in Spanish, talking about how AFL is the main code of football in Melbourne, but everywhere in Australia, the second most popular sport is football. And then I was imagining that they might ask me about Australian football, like soccer. And then I would tell them the story of the 2005 World Cup qualifier that we beat Uruguay. And I was thinking about that and thinking about how proud I would be telling some Spanish people that story in Spanish and just how much I treasure that memory. And then, or maybe it was even like I fucking, Maybe something came up on my Instagram. I don't know. But anyway, I ended up watching the video. I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to watch the video. And I got on YouTube and watched the video and I cried. I watched the short version of just that penalty and I cried. And then I watched the whole shootout again and I cried again. And I just right now realized that I reckon the reason I ended up watching that and crying and feeling like it would make me cry and then getting excited and being like, well, I'll watch it and it'll cry and that'll be nice. I reckon the reason that happened is because I hurt myself when that bed frame fell on my face and I was scared, but I didn't have the opportunity to cry in the moment when it happened, but I still needed to cry at some point. I had a crying debt to pay to my body. So when I got home, without even realizing or thinking about it, I just gravitated towards watching some content that would provoke an emotional reaction so that I could release the emotion that was stored inside me. Isn't that cool? That's how men cry, by thinking about sport and the past. Look, I would love to keep talking, but that's got to be the end of the podcast, man. I got to go to bed. I'm sorry it's just a short one this week, but thank you guys very much for listening. This has been Aiden Jones sitting under a tree. Oh, no, 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 no. What's the fucking name of the podcast? Oh, I know. I'll do it as a like one of those things that I made the kids write in the class. How about a bed frame hit me in the face? That's going to be the name of the podcast. And yes, and the picture is going to be the picture that I took of my face just after I got hit with the little cut above my eye, but before my eye started to bruise. Anyway, a bed frame hit me in the face and the picture is my little cut eye. That's the podcast. Thank you very much. It's been Aiden Jones sitting under a tree. Peace.